I am here today, and we are talking about caregivers and marriage and surviving, because this is the Special Needs Survival Podcast, and what it means to be a parent and a special needs caregiver in this unique world that we live in. My guest today is Jessica Rani, and we've had her on the show before. It's been a while. And her book we talked about was Blended with Grit and Grace. Hopefully you remember Jess. She is funny and sometimes a little irreverent, but spiritual and kind and sweet and honest, a little raw, and so, and I'll say it again, just so honest. Talking about her life and just not shying away from some of the very difficult topics about blended families, about marriage, about raising someone like her son Lucas, raising someone with challenges, someone with a disability, and what that looks like. So if you remember, Jess and Ryan met each other in 2010. They had both lost spouses to cancer, and they had 7 kids between them. They had a child together after they got married, and Jess's son, Lucas, has profound disabilities. He was someone that you wouldn't necessarily think that Ryan would want to take on as a caregiver, and yet he did. So this new book that I wanted to talk to Jess about was a little different for her. And I thought it was so interesting. We talked about, not only did she, again, not shy away from the, you know, hard topics, the difficult topics, and the title of the book is Lovin' with Grit and Grace. And, you know, her theme, if you remember, is just keep living, just keep living. And I asked her about that, where did that come from? But, you know, it has this section where she always asks, you know, what is Ryan's point of view? So Ryan's point of view is reflected in each section, which is interesting for me because I just got stuck when I wrote my book. And, you know, I feel so similar because Jess and Ryan have been married 13 years now. Mark and I have been married 10. And we got married 3 weeks before Elizabeth passed away. And we kind of hurried to get married because Elizabeth was in hospice. And we knew we were losing her when Mark and I met. I don't think Mark really knew what he was stepping into. He thought he did, but he really didn't. The generous and kind and loving and supportive soul that he was, he just really had no idea, no depth of the concepts of what he was walking into as a caregiver. And the love that he had for us grew over time. It grew to fill the world, truly. It started by filling the room, and then it filled the house, and then it filled our life, and then it filled the world. And that's how I look at it. But that comes over time. It doesn't happen in a day. And so, you know, he didn't know on that first day or that week or that month or that first year. And then, you know, when we married and Elizabeth died 3 weeks ago, and I shrank into myself, and he carried on for all of us. He didn't know. And the love grew, and it grew even in the shadow of my grief. The love grew, surprisingly, where I never thought anything green would ever grow again. Love still grew, and it continued on. And so when I wrote my book, I wrote it in solitude. As I maybe have told you all before, I think I have, that this started as journal exercises, this book of mine. So I admire Jess's book so much because she wrote it with Ryan and wrote it with his perspective. She wrote it with his and hers themes. His themes are health, intimacy, and sex, HIS, and hers themes of household tasks, excitement, romance, and spirituality, HERS. And then Ryan's point of view reflected and written in each topic. So I found that so unique and am so envious and so respectful of her ability to, you know, to bring Ryan into all of this and to share this experience of writing this book with him, and somewhat in her blended book as well. So unique. And, you know, in the book, it's such a mixture, so beautiful, of Bible verses and recipes and marriage tips and managing chores like dishes and day-to-day things. And what I really took from this, though, is that it wasn't just someone telling you that marriage is hard, but that it's important to make marriage a priority in your life. And that it wasn't preachy, and it wasn't like some marriage books that I've read, and I've read a lot because I'm always trying to work on my marriage. And some marriage books are very preachy, especially the spiritual ones or the Christian-based ones can tend to be like, you must do X. These are the rules of having a healthy marriage. And then the psychologist-based ones can be, you know, preachy and rules-based and, you know, that sort of thing. But this was more relaxed and fun. And like I said, you know, here, there's a recipe in there for like the best, you know, steak tips, or I might not have that right, but I remember there was like a beef dish in there and I was like, oh my God, I have to try this. And so it was just really cool. And I just enjoyed that, the mixture and the relaxed way of approaching it. So just keep living. That's what Jess is telling you. Just keep living. That's her motto. And I think that that's true. When you feel like everything is coming at you, and when you're a caregiver of a profoundly disabled person, that's the theme of your life. Just keep living. Putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep living. I don't know how you do it. There's so many things going on in your life all the time. You're getting it all done. She is the associate producer of a documentary called Unseen, and it's about caregivers in our communities who are unseen. I'm so excited for you. I cannot wait to see this documentary. I just am super excited about it. So we will have all of the contact information for the book and for Jess and her family in the show notes. And I'm really excited. I hope you get this book. It is really amazeballs and really exciting. And thank you so much. And Jess, here's to you. Thanks for doing this for all of us caregivers out there. So here we go. And we are here today with one of my favorite authors, Jess Ronnie. And we are so excited because she's back again to talk about her latest book, Lovin' with Grit and Grace. I don't know if you remember, but we had Jess on talking about Blended with Grit and Grace. And she is one of the most authentic people I know. She loves to talk about her family and her faith and blend them both together. And we're so glad that you're back on the show. Thank you so much, Jess.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I was blown away by your book, and I know that your audience is as well. I don't know if you remember Jess. She does a blog called Jess Plus the Mess. And she is, when I say one of the most authentic people I know, she really is. She is right out there with her vulnerability and just kind of puts it all out there. So Jess, when you set out to bring this book to light, you kind of like laid it all out on the table. What was the inspiration to really have a book that was even more so, not just a book about your family, but really a marriage tool? You know, talk to us about what this book is about and then why you wanted to do this book in particular.
I didn't want to do this book. My publisher wanted me to do this book. And I said, why? Because at the time we had been married for 10 years and they said, you know, statistically you and Ryan have like a 5% chance of making it with all the odds stacked against you with the second marriage, the blended family, the grief that all the kids have been through, the profound special needs that you guys have. And here you are, you're going strong and you're still in love and you're still working at it. And so Ryan and I talked about it and we agreed that we would write this book, but it wouldn't necessarily be a marriage how-to book. Like, look at us, we've got it all so figured out. But more along the lines of how I enjoy telling our story, which is through storytelling. Mm-hmm. And telling those stories of joy and triumph, but also telling those stories of pain and heartache and trial. And I mean, we've gone through a lot of things within our marriage and talking about them very truthfully and vulnerably. And I guess my purpose here on life is to make a difference and bring God glory. And if sharing our struggles and how we've overcome those struggles can do that purpose, then I don't have any problem peeling back that curtain gracefully and sort of allowing people to peek into our life. It is what it is. And I think people are like, this, the things we go through are not unique, but nobody wants to talk about them.
Right.
So everybody who has picked up this book and read it, I believe can relate in some way, shape, or form. They might not be talking about it as openly as I am, but
yeah,
these are not unique things that marriages go through.
Yeah. So let's tell people a little bit about your story for those of you who don't recall from the last time you were on the show. You are a blended family. Mm-hmm. Both you and Ryan lost spouses to cancer. And take it from there.
Yeah. Ryan and I both lost our spouses to cancer in 2010. Mm-hmm. I lived in Michigan. I had 4 children under 6, including a profoundly disabled child. And he lived in Oklahoma with 3 children under 6. And a stranger from Pennsylvania who followed both of our blogs reached out to me and suggested that I check out this widower's blog because he wasn't doing very well. And I did and just left a comment. And the next day I woke up to an email from him and we started emailing back and forth and calling. And within the year we were married, long story short.
Just unbelievable.
Right. It's kind of crazy. And not out of character for me either. I'm very much driven by my instinct and spirit. And when it feels right, I jump in and you'll see theme over and over in my life.
So I use the word intuitive. I would call you an intuitive person. Not in a negative way, not someone who, you know, you're led by your intuitive nature, but you're not, foolish or foolhardy.
No, it has to come with a peace that passes understanding. And when I have that peace, I will jump and trust that the Lord will work out the details. And that's what we did. We jumped into this marriage with these 7 kids and it was a lot.
And along the way, you had an aide.
We had an aide. Yep. I sort of detail a lot of our struggles in Blended with Grit and Grace in those early years. And then it sort of, we worked out a lot of those wrinkles, and then we had to still work out some things within our marriage. And I mean, that's an ongoing process, of course, but next month will be 12 years. So I guess we're doing something right.
So you don't shy away from some very difficult topics in your book, in any of your books. Why, when so many books are fluffy, so many books, you know, wanna, and so much of social media just want to celebrate the picturesque view of life. You know, look at this perfect bowl of pasta. Look at my beautiful living room. Look at my kids all dressed up for Easter. Why do you open up the, and you show good stuff too. Don't get me wrong, Jess. I mean, you really do all of it. But why are you opening up the hard stuff too?
There's so many. I've thought about this, and I've thought about even the fact that there's a huge audience out there that does love the fluff. I mean, the fluff sells. I see that.
Not me though.
It doesn't for me either. It kind of makes me vomit a little bit because I can see through the fluff. I don't understand the purpose, I guess, of pretending. That has never made sense to me. And to even
it pretend. Just, I will say that it always made me, when I first became a mom, and when my first marriage fell apart, it always made me feel less than to look at people who seemed to have it all together. I always felt so just, you know, just such a mess. You know, I love Jess plus the mess, because to me, that's so real. Like, oh, thank God somebody else is messy too, because I want to just be okay in my mess.
Yeah. And I guess the stories that have changed my life have been the real and authentic, and even the songs. Johnny Cash is one of my favorites. And there's even a scene in his movie, Walk the Line, where the producer calls him out on this hymn that he's singing. And he says, that's the same old, you know, fluff that everybody sings. What would you sing like to somebody who was laying on the sidewalk dying, and this was the last thing that they were going to hear? And that changed the whole trajectory of his music career, where he finally went deep and bold and vulnerable. And I just think we don't change lives with fluff. And I don't even care if I sell fewer books, because I won't write fluff. I'm going to be authentic and at least reach people in a very deep space where they can be encouraged and begin to heal from whatever they're going through, because that's how we connect with one another as human beings, is through our stories. And I'll be that vessel as long as somebody will publish me. So,
right. And many people don't realize how flipping hard it is to write a book.
Flipping hard. And then once you write the book, keep it in print. You've got to sell them.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to get a book done and then out there, you absolutely need to make sure that you are, you know, as we're saying, so hard to get a book out, that, you know, it needs to be meaningful to you, especially when you're raising 8 kids, you work, you've got all this, all many things pulling on your time. There's no point in putting out something that's less than what you want it to be. So you want it to be meaningful. You want it to reach people. You want to talk about the tough topics. So, you know what I thought was so cool? Well, before I get to that, so I thought it was really interesting that you have a his and a hers. Okay. So in the book, it's his, health, intimacy, and sex, and then a hers, household tasks, excitement, romance, and spirituality. really neat because, of course, we have different things that we care about. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But when I wrote my book, it was a memoir, right? Mark and I had just gotten married. We've got 10 years in, too. There's so much synergy, except not 8 kids, between our families. And we have a very spiritual marriage as well, very devout as well. But I never thought to include his perspective and point of view. I'm so freaking proud of you for putting Ryan's point of view and his reflections on each topic in this. It just made the whole book, you know. Yeah. It was like, wow, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. It was really so different and so moving and just so unique, and really, I think, kind of made the whole book, you know, and just gave me so much perspective. I was actually just kind of tearful in a bunch of places, just reading that. And what made you think about that? What was the, I mean, was that your idea? Was that his idea? Was that your editor's idea? Like, where did that come from?
Well, he contributed to Blended, and it just made sense, I think, if I was going to write a marriage book. I mean, men and women are wired differently, whether yeah. we want to acknowledge that or not. For the most part, men and women are wired differently, and I didn't think it was fair necessarily just to have an entirely woman's wife's perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think that I, as much as you're talking about how vulnerable and honest I am in my books, I'm also that way in my marriage. So when Ryan and I are going through something difficult, we sit down and I kind of hammer away, like, explain this to me. I want to understand from a man's point of view, from a husband's point of view. And yeah. I know a lot of marriages struggle with that communication component, but I thought if wives could at least read another man's perspective, it might help them gain some understanding into their own marriage. For instance, there's a part in the book where I ask Ryan, do you need romance, or what is romance to you? Because I need romance, like I need air.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't think so. And I said, what is romance to a man? Sex. Like, okay, well, you need to understand then that I do need romance to get to sex. So,
right.
And this opens up this whole line of communication. Well, how often do you need romance? Well, how often do you need sex?
So, right.
Let's think. And then this was this light bulb moment for him. Like, oh, okay. Now I get it. Now I understand, like, how romance is connected to intimacy and sex and why she needs that. And so I just wanted, I think, other couples to be able to connect those same dots within their relationships.
Mm-hmm. And connecting them to your spirituality also was really cool. And having them sprinkled through with recipes and Bible verses and, you know, other small marriage tips, like how to manage daily chores and just different things throughout the book, was really meaningful as well. And yet it didn't come off preachy, like so Good. Many marriage books that I've read. And I've read quite a few.
I have too. Like self-help. You know, and
especially when you've been through a marriage that didn't work, and you know, you lost a partner, a spouse. I feel like I had a marriage that failed. Mm-hmm. So that's a totally different experience, you know. So you go into a second marriage and you're terrified that you're gonna make the same mistakes again, mm-hmm. you know. So even when you're a smart, strong person, and maybe because you are a strong person, you're like, okay, so how do I not make those same mistakes again? I know I can learn, I can do better, you know? And so you start doing the things that you see smart people do. You read all the books, you go to therapy, you do all the things you need to do. You talk to your priest, you know, all the things that you think are going to help you. And so many of the books that you read are very one-sided. They're not like the husband-wife perspective, like you've given here. And they're very preachy. Like, okay,
yes,
here are the five things you need to do.
The know-it-all, and then their marriage ends like 5 years later, and you're left with this book, like, I guess they didn't know it all.
Right.
And I did not want to put something out into the world like that. Like, this is just our stories. This is what works for us. Take what you want from it, leave the rest, but maybe something will be helpful for you.
It also helps that you're a caregiver to Lucas, mm-hmm. because look, let's face it. That's different. Having Lucas just makes life different for you. And I've been to several therapists through the years who they just don't understand that we can't go off for a romantic weekend. You know, now my Elizabeth is gone now, but it wasn't not possible to do like the prescription for a marriage that most people would normally think of.
Yeah.
Right. There was no leaving her with the grandparents and all of that kind of stuff. So can you tell us a little bit about Lucas for people who didn't listen to the podcast before and don't know much about your story?
Lucas is now 18. He experienced a stroke in utero when he was 20 weeks. And he is profoundly disabled. He will require 24/7 care for the rest of his life. He requires assistance in every aspect of life, feeding, bathing, changing, anything you can imagine, moving from one place to another. And he has taught me more than any man or woman behind the pulpit ever has, but it doesn't detract from the fact that it is exhausting, holy work to care for an individual like Lucas. And we've had to, like you mentioned, shift what works for us in our marriage, because we understand that we need to prioritize time together, but it might not look like that weekly traditional date night that other couples get where they can leave the house, because we can't find somebody to watch Lucas usually. And now our move to Michigan has been very helpful in that we've been able to find a lot more care for him here. But up until that move, we were not really going out for date nights, and we had to get creative. And what that meant for us is we would often use our travel trailer in the backyard, order a pizza and enjoy a bottle of wine and put one of the older kids in charge in the main house for 2 hours, like watch a movie, just decompress. And just carving out those little times together. We've often gone on walks in the morning. We still do that. Just a 30-minute walk where we can catch up on the day or come together in the morning and say a quick prayer together. But we've had to get creative. And I think a lot of marriages with special needs kids can understand that right. component as well.
And Ryan didn't have any disabled kids, so he married into this situation. Although Lucas was young when mm-hmm. you all met. So he did have a chance to grow into it.
Yeah, he was 5, I believe. So he's been Lucas's dad longer than Jason was even. And he didn't really balk at all. He just jumped right in. But again, Lucas was just a cute little boy. I mean, and a 5-year-old in diapers is very different than an 18-year-old in diapers. So
yeah,
we did have help even when Lucas was little, because changing a 5-year-old isn't a big deal. Changing a 16-year-old becomes kind of a big deal. So we didn't start to really lose that help till Lucas was probably around 10. And then people were like, I don't know about that.
Oh, I experienced that too. And you are a strong caregiver advocate. In fact, you are an associate producer for a documentary called Unseen. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was a dream that I had about 5 years ago, just trying to brainstorm through the Lucas Project, the nonprofit that I started. How could we like make society more aware of the struggles that we go through as parent caregivers? Because the world just isn't made for families like ours. So we often just stay home and, mm-hmm. you know, isolate ourselves, and people are like, I don't know of any families. Well, you don't know of any families because we don't get out into the world really.
Right.
So in an effort to sort of peel back that curtain and just expose, you know, what a day in our life looks like and the hardships that we go through and the sleepless nights and the aggression. And I pitched this idea on Facebook in 2017. Just like I said, I'm a visionary, an instinctual person. I said, I have this great idea. My siblings all laugh that on my tombstone someday, they're going to say, Jess had a great idea. I said, I have this great idea. I think we should make a documentary and pull together some parent caregivers and follow them around and show the world what our lives are like. And a filmmaking team out of Nashville saw the post and we met for lunch and the rest is history. We premiered the documentary last April, and it's been going amazingly well. And we have some big news coming up about it in the next couple of months that I can't share quite yet. But
yay!
It's making changes for special needs families, and I'm really excited about it.
That's great. Where can people see it now before the big news comes out?
Caregiverdoc.com. If you sign up for updates, we often have free showings through different sponsorships or film festivals. There is a free showing coming up next weekend. And all of the details should be on the website for that.
Caregiverdoc.com.
Yep.
Okay. We'll make sure that we have that in our show notes. That's awesome. We want to make sure that we promote this as best we can. Okay, just to kind of keep going on this thread though, what I really took away from all of the, you know, all of the book was that finally someone was saying, not just, hey, marriage is hard, but also you were saying, this is a marriage is a priority. It's mm-hmm. not just like, oh, marriage is hard and, you know, here are the steps that you need to take to, you know, make it a successful marriage, but you need to make it a priority in your life. And honestly, not really sure I heard it said just that way before. Like, this has to be your priority, you know? It has to be something that's important to you. It's not just like drudgery and hard work, but it has to be something that's joyful and celebrated in your life. And that gets back to the spiritual meaning of marriage. And, you know, I was just so excited. I don't know, it just got me so excited because I personally, it hit me at an, as I'm coming up on my 10th anniversary this year, it hit me at an important moment in my marriage. And I felt like I needed to read this book right now. It's almost like it got sent to me. The message got sent to me at the right time. So I'm really grateful to you for getting this book out right now.
Your 10 can be tough. I think 7 to 10 is sort of like, what are we doing here?
And, you know, as an older married couple, you know, having been through so much like you, I experienced grief, a different kind of grief. And, you know, it's been really hard. I got married a few weeks before my Elizabeth died, and I rushed into my marriage so she could be there. Because we knew she was, you know, dying. And it's my marriage is all kind of jumbled up with that grief and loss. And I don't know, it was like a message I needed to hear, Jess, that this is actually something to be celebrated and prioritized. And I feel like I needed to push that message in front now. And so I heard that throughout. And then, you know, your message is just keep living. You keep saying that throughout the book, right? And actually, it's been a message throughout all of your books. Just keep living. And it's so simple, but it's so meaningful. Where did that come from? When did you start saying that? And, you know, where is that from? Just keep living.
That is from when Jason was in hospice and I was sitting on my couch with my four children watching Nemo. Is that the name? Finding Nemo. Sorry. And Dory's swimming along, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Yeah. And Jason struggling to breathe in our den. And I'm sitting there with my four kids, just like, I cannot believe this is my life. And spirit or something just whispered in me, just keep living, just keep living. You can sit and wallow in the injustice and the pain of your life, or you can rise up, take care of these four beautiful children and continue to move towards something life-giving. And it was just planted in my spirit at that moment. And Jason died a week or two later. And it just became my mantra. This is your story. Not that I didn't allow myself to grieve, but I had to rise up and take care of these four beautiful children that the Lord had given me because of my marriage to Jason, or through my marriage to Jason. So I couldn't just lay in bed and wallow in self-pity, and especially with a profoundly disabled child. I mean, you know, you don't have people lining up to help with that.
No.
So in a way, it was almost a blessing to have something that I had to keep moving towards after Jason died.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that doesn't make it easy.
It did not make it easy, but there's something about movement too. As long as you know, there's a saying, if you can't run, walk, if you can't walk, crawl. Like this idea of continue to move somehow, because
perpetual forward motion.
Yes, you can't get stuck, because if you get stuck, you might not ever move again.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's an incredible book. And, you know, the things that you cover, so many tough topics, and your family was on board with it, you know, intimacy and grief and addiction. And
I don't know that any of my kids are on board with it. My kids are like, you wrote a book about sex, gross. So I don't know that any of them are going to read it.
Okay, Jess. As we are winding up this interview, and I'm so glad you could be here today. I know your schedule is so busy right now. What do you think your number one tip would be for families, for especially for married couples, given that that's what we're talking about today? And, you know, really just making it work and celebrating their marriage. What do you want to tell to loving spouses?
Right. I think I have two things I'd like to say. I think communication is really key. And I know we hear this a lot, but we cannot read our spouse's minds. And I've learned that the hard way. Ryan wants to help, and I get irritated because he can't anticipate my needs. But he's said to me so many times, just tell me, I'm happy to help you. And it did used to irritate me, because I would think, why do I have to tell you? That's like, you're my ninth child. Like, why do I have to tell you to help with this or help with that? And then him explaining, you know, men have these boxes in their heads and we compartmentalize things. And if we feel like the help box has been checked for the day, we're not going to see other things that you need help with. So speak up. And then this is hard, I think, for women to hear too, but if you feel like there is something in your marriage that maybe should not be in your marriage, as we also talk about in the book, very hard situation with pornography. I think that again goes to that instinctual knowing, like you kind of know something's off, but instead of wanting to deal with it, you just kind of brush it under the rug and think maybe it'll go away or it's not that big of a deal. Or, but I would say it can become a very big deal, and to have those hard conversations with your spouse, and then finally have fun together. Yeah. You know, Ryan and I, he's my person, God willing, till the day I die. And I don't want to be stuck with a person who I'm miserable with. But in order to not be stuck with a person I'm miserable with, cultivate those relationships. It's not just a guarantee, just like it's not a guarantee with our girlfriends either. We can't go for years without speaking or seeing each other and expect that we're going to have the same type of relationship. So
yeah,
I think cultivating that friendship, cultivating that intimacy, and that romance, which goes back to communicating your need for romance. So, yes. And whatever that looks like for you, romance for me is not Ryan doing the dishes. And that's where a disconnect was for us. He thought he was romancing me by doing the dishes. Maybe that is romance to a woman out there. It's not for me. Mm-hmm. So explaining to him, that's not romance. I would like flowers or a sweet little note or, you know, a gesture, like you set up a picnic in the backyard.
Oh yeah.
Doing the dishes falls under household.
That's so great.
Yeah.
It's been so great having you here today. Thank you for putting up with my end of my cold, nasally coffee wheezy. It's been awesome. And I'm so excited for you and how well that your book is doing, your third book in the series. I hope you have more in you.
Oh, I do. I need a publisher to take it on.
Oh, well, I just can't even imagine how some publisher is not going to be excited about this series. And I'm really excited for the documentary. I can't wait to see it. And I just can't wait to see what you're going to do next. Awesome. I don't know where you get all this energy, but I'm so grateful that you're out there doing what you do for caregivers and for all of us out here in the disability community. Thank you so much, Jess. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I just wanted to take a second to say how much I appreciate you taking the time to listen to these podcasts. I'm having a blast doing them, and I hope that you're finding the content to be what you were really hoping. If you are, please take a second to leave a rating and a review. It's so helpful in getting this content out to people who really need to hear it. Thank you so much.